I'm Jenna Flanagan, filling in for Allison Stewart, and this is All of It on WNYC. The U.S. has recently been confronted with questions of organized labor. From teachers to museum workers and the recent strike at a GM plant, the news cycle in the last year has shown how prominent questions of unionized labor are today. A new film that premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival this year shows a different kind of labor struggle, one that is much more about gender equity as it is about labor rights. Titled Made in Bangladesh, the film was directed and co-written by Rubaiyat Hussain. This is the Bangladeshi director's third feature film, and it follows one woman who works at a garment factory in Dhaka as she struggles to unionize the factory's employees. It premiered earlier this year at the Toronto International Film Festival and will also be screening here in New York as part of the 27th Annual African Diaspora Film Festival on December 6th and 10th. Rubaiyat, welcome to All of It.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I was so moved by this film that you did and learning so much about the people behind the scenes. And that's what it feels like, one of the narratives that this story brings to light. So first of all, tell me a little bit about what your intention was for Made in Bangladesh.
Well, as a film director, I'm really interested in looking at women's lived experiences through the lens of my cinema. And I did a film called Under Construction, where I looked at the life of a middle-class theater actor living in Bangladesh. And then for my next feature, I wanted to look at the life of a working-class woman. And when I was doing my research, the figure of the factory worker is extremely prominent in Bangladesh. 80% of the sewing machine operators are women. They carry the backbone of our economy. And when you see them walk to the factory in the morning and walking back home at night, they walk in hundreds. So they're very prominent in our public life. So I thought, okay, I'm gonna look at a factory worker. And then I started meeting actual women who worked in factories. And I started finding out about their strength. Because in the research that I did, when I watch other films or I read literature or news, we see these women as victims. But when I actually met the workers, I saw that they were unionizing. They were standing up for their rights. They're quite vocal at home and at work because these are young women, aged between 18 to 25, you know, average. And I met a woman named Dalia Akhtar, who had unionized her factory in 2013 and been a union president for 3 years. I met her in 2016 and I offered her that, you know, I'm fascinated by your story. Would you help me make a movie about it? And she said yes. So that's how it started.
Well, I think that's such a beautiful narrative to bring forth and into the light. And when I say behind the scenes earlier, I sort of meant, in America, we are in our sort of holiday shopping frenzy, if you will, and I don't think a lot of people really give much thought to where our clothes are coming from. And so while there's so many different narratives in this movie, that's one of the ones that I think it's lost for a lot of Americans, is to consider where our clothes are coming from, the conditions under which they're being made, and you know, sometimes the exploitative situations that occur. But I want to turn back to the film, and you were saying that this is a huge part of the Bangladeshi economy.
Yes.
Is that, what kind of inspiration then were you drawing on when you wanted to bring this forward? Was this more about telling, you know, a woman's story or these women's stories, or was it also about educating the rest of the world about what is going on and where our clothes are coming from?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, because I think that this is a globally relevant story. This is also the story of an American consumer who's shopping at Gap, because what we wear is very intimate. You know, it touches our body. We spend a lot of time with our clothes, and we ought to know who's making it. So for me, I wanted to create a portrait of this woman so my audience would feel empathy and also respect, you know, respect for this woman who's not a victim. She is really strong and she has a lot of dignity. So I wanted to put that image forward. And for the Bangladeshi audience, there has not been a film made about these women, which surprised me. You know, there are documentaries and, you know, but not to show them as heroes, not to acknowledge that, okay, these young women have contributed tremendously to our economy, and we really need to acknowledge their strength and their resilience and their contribution. So for me, the film is a tribute to these young women.
Well, let's talk about the central character, Shimu. And she is almost like a Norma Rae character, which, and again, I don't think a lot of Americans would associate with a Bangladeshi woman living in, you know, a Muslim country or something, but she stands up, she's got a mouth on her.
Yeah,
like, she's really inspirational.
Yes, well, these women are. When I met them, I was inspired. You know, I have had a privileged life. I didn't have to work in a factory when I was young. I had the chance of go to school and be educated and do what I like to do, is to make films. But when I met these women, they're much younger than me. And the strength that I saw in them was so inspirational that I think by making the film, I also became stronger. And I'm talking about the actual woman who inspired the movie, Dalia. I was talking to her, and she was saying that when she was unionizing, she would go home and practice cursing, you know? So you see
how
a simple woman becomes empowered through learning about her legal rights, through becoming a union leader. Mm-hmm. So Shimu is a feisty woman. You know, she's a Muslim woman who prays, but at the same time, she dances, she has friends, she has fun, she's beautiful, and she's really hardworking. And what's most beautiful to me about this is that even though these women have been through so much struggle in their life, there is something undying about their spirit. You know, life has not been able to beat them down. They stand up strong.
And you show, the film also gets into a lot of the pressures that they're also dealing with. I mean, there's a lot of overt misogyny. I think especially as a Western audience, women might be, oh my God. But there's that. There's one of Shimu's friends, I believe, was, or maybe it was Shimu herself in the movie, who was talking about, you know, in marriage, we're sort of stuck either way.
Yeah, we are screwed if we're married, we're screwed if we're not married.
Her exact words.
And that's exactly what Dalia told me when I went to visit her in the slum at her home the first day I was interviewing her. That's one of the things that she said to me. And that's what attracted me to her, because I felt that, you know, this woman has a feminist analysis, even though she might not call it that, but she has that lens. And I put that dialogue in the movie because I think it really shows, in those simple words, it shows that it's a paradox. You know, if you're a woman and you're empowered, you have a job, you're making money, and you have a husband at home who's unemployed, then you're going to face double pressure at home, because you have to then take the burden of his failed masculinity. And that's the kind of dynamic we see in the film between Shimu and her husband.
But then we also see societal pressures from, I believe, an aunt who is definitely saying, you know, now that your husband's gone back to work, you don't need to do this anymore.
Exactly. Because I wanted to show that women oftentimes are the biggest upholders of patriarchal system. And we socially police each other. You know, it's not only men, it's mostly women, older women especially, who have lived a certain type of life. And they see a younger woman who's trying to step out of the box. And she's really skeptical. You know, she's really trying to pull her back. She's thinking that, you know, why are you doing this? And when Shimu says, you won't understand, then she gets really offended. She's like, oh, just because you're making some money, you think that you're independent, you know? Because this woman probably never made her own living. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about a younger generation of Bangladeshi women who are financially independent. And I think that even the misogyny that you see in the factory, the way it works is most of the sewing machine operators are women, young women who are actually not even educated. So they can never rise up to the rank of supervisors or managers. So there's already a gendered division of labor there, that women are working as operators where men are working as supervisors or managers. So that enhances the already unequal gender roles that we practice in society when you put them in that structure within the work environment.
Well, being able to see yourself in the characters in Shimu, at least for myself, there's a point in the film where she is working with a lawyer who is saying, you know, there actually are laws now. You can unionize. Here's how it's done. But when it comes time to actually make a union official, this woman who's sort of been a mentor to her is just like, no, you have to go on your own. And there was this moment where you could see this fear in Shimu, like, no, I need you to help me. And she's like, no, I can't help you. You have to do that on your own. I just thought that was so beautifully done and well acted.
Well, when you go to unionize, it's also very important that the government wants to know that it's the workers who are actually doing it. So a human rights activist wouldn't usually go with the workers. And also, you know, the ground reality is there are so many workers who are trying to unionize, and they're only few organizations who are able to help them. So I think that workers at the end are on their own. And I also wanted to stay close to the real story, you know, because in reality, Dalia had training from different organizations. You know, she had training from Solidarity Center, which was run by the U.S. Embassy in Bangladesh, from ILO, from Denmark's Union 3F. So she had training from all these organizations. She went to meet these mentors, but then when it came to the actual job of collecting the signatures and submitting for union, she was on her own.
All right, I'm Jenna Flanagan, filling in for Allison Stewart. I'm speaking with director Rubaya Hussain about her film Made in Bangladesh. More after a quick break. We just spoke with filmmaker Rubaya Hussain about her new film, Made in Bangladesh, which is screening as part of the 27th Annual African Diaspora Film Festival on December 6th and 10th. With us now to tell us about some of the other exciting programming coming up as part of the festival, which is screening in several locations around the city and runs through December 15th, is Diarra Ndauspish, co-director of the African Diaspora International Film Festival. Diarra, welcome to All of It.
Thank you.
So why did you want this film to be part of the film festival?
Well, this film is wonderful. It meets the kind of story that we like to see in the African Diaspora Film Festival, which is we want to show meaningful entertainment. We want to show films that are culturally relevant. And what I mean by that is films that are high production value, films that have great storytelling, and films that also are socially aware, where you, when you see the storyline, you look at the environment, political, economical, social environment, and you understand the arc of the story, you understand the end of act of the character. All the films in the festival have those characteristics. We have 59 films from 39 countries, and Made in Bangladesh was perfect for that kind of curating.
I was going to say, it sounds like it definitely hits all of those criteria that you were at least looking for. Do you think a drama discussing something like labor rights is able to achieve something that a documentary isn't? Like, is this better done as a narrative as opposed to being a documentary?
I think the power of narrative is empathy. Like Rubaiyat was saying earlier, you are able to connect with the character at an emotional level, and so it may have a stronger impact on you. The documentaries tend to rely more on the intellectual, the reflection on the issues. But when you bring it as a drama, then there's another layer. That is the art of filmmaking that also touches your unconscious, I think. And so it's very effective.
Did you, or I want to say no, not did you, but how did you start this film festival? Like, when you first started this, what was it that you had in mind for the African diaspora? Why did you feel that this deserved a film festival?
Well, when we started in 1993, 27 years ago, there were very few opportunities for films that focused on the human experience of people of color to be screened on the big screen in New York and more or less everywhere in the US. And so we coming from Europe, and we had been exposed in Africa, attending festivals all over. We have been exposed to a wide range of films that never made it here. So we felt it was valuable to give a platform for filmmakers from all over the world to showcase their film here. Also, our understanding of, you know, film as an educational tool is a way for us to bring a program together and really open a window on another world and create bridges across communities. And we felt that that was really required, even among people of the African diaspora, because some of us don't know each other. We look at each other through, white supremacist lens, and therefore we have prejudices against each other. And therefore, a festival that brings all of us together under one roof for a certain period is actually very helpful in creating dialogue across people of African descent. And we felt that was very important to do that.
Of course. Now, of course, we talked about Made in Bangladesh and how that definitely explores the theme of labor and unionizing. But what are some of the other themes that we might see from some of the other films in the film festival?
We have a theme that of resistance. It seems to be a very strong theme in the festival this year. We have films about the Maroons, Quilombo from Brazil, Maluala from Cuba, and we have a very interesting lineup of films from Europe that present the multicultural and multiracial Europe, including a film called Les Misérables, which is a French production, which actually won the jury prize at the Cannes Film Festival and is the French submission to the Oscars, and it has its New York premiere in the festival. And it's a story about police brutality in France against underprivileged communities, primarily people of color. And we also have another European film that's really interesting called The Last Tree, which is from the UK. And it's a coming-of-age story about a young man who is of Nigerian descent and lives in a foster family in the UK until his mom comes to pick him up and bring him to London. And so he has to adjust to a different cultural environment from when he first grew up. And it's the story, it's a very sensitive story. It was actually the opening film for the World Dramatic Section of the Sundance Film Festival. So we have this type of films that are really high quality films that have all the characteristics mentioned earlier, as well as, you know, independent films that have absolutely no pedigree, but the, you know, the filmmaker has something to say. And so it's important to be exposed to that type of cinema.
Of course. You know, speaking of the theme of resistance, Rubaiyat, I wanted to go back and ask you, did you receive any pushback when you were producing Made in Bangladesh, or when you were making the film?
Not any pushback as such from any authorities. You know, I had all the permissions that I needed to shoot the film. I had a lot of crew that were coming in from Europe. But I had a lot of resistance from my social circle, like my friends, you know, who may be owners of factories and, uh-huh, you know, or taking me out to dinner and saying, you know, why are you making this film? Do you want to get in trouble again? Because, you know, my first film was taken down from theaters. So I had that skepticism from people around me, even filmmakers around me, saying that, you know, you're handling a very difficult topic. Are you sure you can do that? Are you sure you want to go in to telling this story?
I want to thank you both so much for joining us on All of It. I really appreciate the narratives and the storylines that you're bringing to the forefront. So thank you both.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
My guests have been Rubaiyat Hussain and Diarra and Dauspesh. The African Diaspora Film Festival runs through Sunday, December 15th. More information and tickets are available at nyadiff.org. You've been listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Jenna Flanagan, in for Allison Stewart. I'll meet you back here tomorrow.